light worker. Now is the time to make a much bigger impact in the world. You are tuned to the Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. This podcast will take you through a journey to return to your true purpose and awaken the authentic power of your soul. This podcast is for light workers who want to start using their own medicine from their heart and remember their true magic. It's time to live a fulfilling life full of joy and abundance. I'm your host, Vika Didvalene, founder of Satkara Temple, and I'm sharing my unique medicine to help you to find your authenticity and to bring it to this world. I believe that you came here to shine your light bright, and I'm inviting you to listen to your own medicine podcast to find the inspiration and teachings of how to bring your gifts and your light to this world. It's time to listen to your own medicine. I believe that you carry your unique medicine in your heart and you came here to share it. So let's get to it. Hello, hello. Welcome to Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. And today I have my dear friend and teacher, Mariu Gobata, with me. Hi, Mariu.
Hi.
So good to have you. I wanted to invite people to start tuning in with a little breathing and for us to connect so we can receive and give all together in a similar frequency. So if you're not driving, please close your eyes and start connecting to your breath. Feeling the breath coming in and out from your lungs and focusing to your heart. Relaxing into the space, wherever you are. Noticing shoulders are softening. Feeling your breath coming into your heart. Allowing to center yourself and to receive. Couple more deep breaths. And then you're ready, start slowly bringing yourself back. Or if you have a possibility, you can stay where you are with your eyes closed and just receive what is meant for you to come today. I feel strong energy already. So feeling centered and relaxed. We're coming back, especially for the ones who's going to be watching and who wants to connect with our faces and see us. So you can start opening your eyes and welcome again. I feel the energy is strong for you if you're tuning in the first time into Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. I'm traveling a lot. I'm living on a boat, on a sailboat. So usually if we're recording with the beautiful souls, so it's different parts of the world. So today I'm in Ibiza Island, and dear Mariu is in Guatemala, and so
Yeah, it's beautiful to connect. When this recording is happening, we just finished beautiful retreat with one of my teachers, Tata Walter, and it just was beautiful, beautiful process of ceremonies. And so I think you're all gonna feel the energies as Mariyu is living in the sacred Guatemala lands and spending a lot of time in a ceremony as well. So the frequencies are high, love, so get ready to tune in and to receive the magic from different parts of the world, which I feel so blessed to share and to have you today. So we're having the second season of the podcast, and this season is really centered about soul remembrance. So what is it? Why we walk this journey and why we want to remember, and all the different ways how to do that, and how really to tap into our hearts so we can find that way what suits us best, finding that pathway, walking that path with more ease, and finding that alignment in life. And today we're speaking about with Mariyu about Mayan midwifery and about womb healing. About we're gonna touch all the beautiful things, of course, Mayan Cosmovision, her journey, and I just wanted to introduce Mariyu so you loves can allow yourself to receive her magic, and she is such a beautiful soul. She is Guatemalan mestiza woman. She is a mother of three beautiful, beautiful children. So it's already for me. I bow to all the mothers and this path and heart they sharing and bringing those, men and women to the world and teaching them and sharing what you have in your heart and how they could bring their life, how more magic they can share with the people who gonna cross their path. So, yes, Mariyu is a midwife. She's dedicated her path to all the plans, working with the Mayan midwives for 13 years now, and walking this path of teacher as a womb healer, as a massage therapist. It just so much goes under your umbrella. My heart is vibrating already. She's really, really powerful. So, yeah, and we met, I don't know, a couple of months ago, I think June or May probably this year, 2023, when it just magical, everything just happened like almost in 2 days, how we met each other. We started, well, I started learning from her, all the magic about the womb, about Mayan abdominal massage. And thank you so much for guiding me through this process, for introducing me to the nanas, for bringing Donia Dominga, which is incredible midwife and a weaver in San Marcos, Lake Atitlan. So thank you so much, and I will allow you and to open up your voice, as I'm sure everybody is waiting to hear from you. My speech is boring here on this podcast, everybody hearing it every time. So, yeah, introduce yourself, share, what you do, what is your passion, and spread some magic from the lake to all of us everywhere in the world who's tuning in.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Vika, and hello to everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm in Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, as Vika shared, and very excited to be here in this podcast and sharing a little bit more time and space with Vika and with anybody else who is called, who is interested to listening today. And yeah, something just a little bit about myself, I guess, to add on to what Vika said, is yeah, currently I feel like ultimately what I'm doing is supporting people to come back in touch with our essence and connect with Mother Earth and with all of the cosmos and all of life, because we are completely disconnected as a society, as individuals, and as a whole. And so ultimately, that's where I believe the healing is for all of us. And when we're in that space of deep connection and deep oneness, we can see clearly what our path is and what we're here to do and what will allow us to bring our gifts forth, the gifts that we're all born with. And when we come into this earth, and we all come with very specific gifts and a very specific mission as well of what it is we're here to do and what makes us a useful person in this earth. And so this brings a deep sense of fulfillment, which is where I believe this big part of this healing is that we're all looking for. And I feel like that's ultimately what I'm doing, whether it's through massage work, whether it's through plants, the temazcal, whether it's even, the midwifery work with women in the birthing process. It's ultimately about finding this connection and remembering that we are one with everybody and everything around us, and that we are here
Beautiful.
for a reason as well, for an important reason.
That's so thank you so much for spreading this light here. And it's so beautiful the way you explained, because I think a lot of us, we are so deeply conditioned into this masculine driven world that we think that we always have to do something, we always have to achieve more, we always, a lot of the time not good enough, or we have to be something else. And then we forget, we forget that we are here, we have a purpose, we have a reason why we on this world, in this world, on this planet, on walking Mother Earth, we are humans. So it's so important to remember. And this remembrance journey, it's sometimes you just need to hear what you just said. Well, each of us came with specific reason to this world. You came with one reason, I came with another. Your kids are coming with another, the partners, family, mothers, all, community around us. We each have own responsibility. And that responsibility, what we have, we came here to create. We came here to weave the life through our authentic DNA, what each of us are carrying in our hearts, in our souls. So it's a beautiful reminder in the very profound work you do, and it's very strong healing what people come to you and what we receive and the processes we're going through. And I got a chance to share about you, to share the healings. And I probably would say 80% of people would say, I'm just not ready for that. It's just way too, it's because they know they're gonna have to go through the deepest rooted pain. And then to unlock, the magic, to step into unknown. And being us as human beings, obviously the mind steps in and always, okay, well, this is, you don't know. This is what you know. This is painful. So stay where you are and live in, the cage, what most of the time we create for ourselves. We create that, I said cage, whatever, like that small room. And we like to stay in it. Even if we don't like to stay in it, we're still staying because we are so conditioned to just not to do anything what is out of the comfort zone. So through this deep, healing modalities, what you're offering, it's this reconnection to your soul. What people find, I feel from my experience, and I feel people find that reconnection to their soul through the process, what we go through. And each of us has different processes. Each of us, it's somewhat different on the journey. And the most beautiful thing is to honor that journey. To honor yourself, to then we start understanding that we are unique and we don't need to be anything else. We accept that presence and everything just becomes so beautiful because, oh my God, I'm beautiful flower. I don't know, a tree, beautiful. We just the part of the nature, we are the same, just we have a mind. And the mind, of course, the mind is good. The mind can create, help us to create many beautiful things. It's needed, but also it can be really, really dark in a way. So thank you so much for sharing the way you perceive, the way you see, the way you understand what you do and who you are, because I feel. The only way I feel sometimes it's difficult to put into the words, it's when we have this conversation, people can feel your vibration. And it's natural to tune in and to connect in a way the mind doesn't understand. So thank you so much for being here and for sharing. And I have a few questions for you, and some of them I'm so keen to hear even more. I wanted to, you live by the lake and the energy is beautiful. You're deeply connected with the Guatemala lands, and you got a chance as well to live somewhere abroad, but when you came back to your roots and continue deepening your relationship with the midwifery, with the Mayan cosmovision, the massages, what you learn from the most amazing people, women who carries that deep ancestral wisdom in their DNA. So for me, it's a really, really amazing and beautiful thing that you become this bridge, continuing to carry and share that ancestral wisdom. And yeah, so I wanted to hear, and I'm sure everybody are keen So how you decided that this is a path, this is, it's very, of course, feminine. It's very earthy, Mother Earth energy you carry, and having three kids and dedicating your life to the to bring the souls to this earth. It's really big responsibility. So when you started feeling a call that this is something, what is your path, that this is something what you feel called, you have to do it? Because I feel sometimes we just know that we have to do it, and then we're kind of trying to not do it for a little bit, but then we ended up doing it anyway because this is the path we're walking. So when all this started, when you felt connected to those energies, and how those beautiful women started coming into your life, and how you started to co-creating together. Would love to hear that story.
Well, I feel like there's many stories inside that story, right? But
Right.
there's definitely a moment that I remember when I made a choice that, that I wanted to do this and that this is my path, which is that of creating a safe space and holding that space for women during their birthing moment. And of course, that's accompanied by a lot at this point, but that happened to me when I birthed my daughter. And I had such an empowering, loving, and precious birth that felt like such a gift for me to be able to birth my daughter in that space where I felt completely held, completely safe, completely respected, and it allowed the process to unfold in such an organic and beautiful, natural way. And I feel like I just tuned into my little bubble. There was no questioning, there was no doubt, there was nothing except that present moment and very, almost animalistic, biological, just the process, the physiological process of birth. I feel like I just really was went into it, leaving the mind completely aside. And it was such a precious birth that allowed me to really tap into my power and the capacity that all women, that we all have, that we're all born with. And what we need is that space around us to be held in a way where we feel safe enough to surrender. And so when I birthed my daughter, it was just immediately very clear, this is what I have to do. What these people, what these women, including my mother and my sister, just did for me is what I need to do for other women in this world. And that's when I was 21, and it took a while. It took a while, like you're saying, there was a lot of steps in the process to go through until I could finally start attending births. And then, of course, it's well, just life happened, right? And I was left with, then I had my other son, so two small children on my own, and I just had to work and survive. And somehow, though, I feel like I'm so grateful because I've somehow always been able to allow something greater than myself to lead me in a sense of trust. Even though it's been scary at moments, or even though it's been, with so much uncertainty and struggles, even with the very, let's say, practical adulting of raising children, and having to work and study as well. So it took me a while to finish my studies. I did end up studying and entering a midwifery school that was founded for Indigenous women by Indigenous midwives. And also, what I was saying, though, to finish the thread is that without knowing it, I started doing the massage work and the healing work. I never thought, okay, now I'm going to study massage therapy. I'm going to be a massage therapist. I'm going to be a healer. Actually, at all. I was not thinking about that at all. In fact, what I was into was jewelry design and metalsmithing. That's what I studied before I studied midwifery and massage therapy. And then life just started guiding me, taking me into meeting people, massage therapists that were teachers that then offered that I could take their course. And then it just started to happen. And all of a sudden I was doing massages and people loved them. And I was like, well, great. I'm going to keep doing massages then. And more people coming. And so I flowed with that. And for years, that's what I did, you know, and I started really coming more and more into touch with this healing power in my hands, you know, that I think, well, when we come to be a healer, we bring that, we have that in our hands, we have that in our energy, we have that capacity to tune into the divine and be a channel for the healing, because, you know, we as people or as a woman, I'm not doing anything really. I'm just allowing spirit to move through me. And so I slowly started to discover this healing energy that I carry, and really was through people's feedback that I thought, okay, great, then, well, this seems to be working really good both ways. And it was something like I was so thirsty to learn, you know, and learn and learn and learn and learn. And for years, I was just learning, 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 practicing, practicing, practicing all kinds of massage. Then I started to get into plants more, study plant medicine from the ancestral perspective. And then all along this process, I was doing the midwifery, but really just like in the background. And then at some point I thought, okay, I need to really decide, you know, now is the moment. Am I going to do the midwifery that I know is like, it's there. It's always kind of like just poking a little bit at me. Or am I gonna do something else, you know? And I said, like, okay, no, I'm going to do the midwifery. And I'm going to focus my time. I'm going to finish my studies. And it was very beautiful because it was very also like this click, this switch where women started to come to ask me to be with them at their birth. And it was all just, I see now, you know, it's like this divine agenda, you know, that how things of how things unfold. And sometimes in the moment we don't know, and we have no idea how it's going to happen, but we just say, but well, I just have to do this now. And a midwife friend left the village, and she kind of like handed me her bag of equipments and told me, like, okay, like, it's your turn now to take over and attend the women. And so that's, you know, I started, and my sister was the first woman that asked me to be at her birth. And that's also something really special to me, of course, because she's my sister, and I was able to support her after she had also supported me so much during my process of becoming a mother. And then my other sister as well, and just women started to ask me to accompany them during their birth. And I started to kind of have the courage to say yes, you know. And that was about 5 years ago. So now, I've been attending births for about 5 years, While I'm still doing the other work I'm doing, which is teaching my courses. And then also, almost 3 years ago, I started working with a group of midwives on a very specific project to start a birthing center and a network of support for the midwives, the indigenous midwives. And I'm putting a lot of energy into that as well. We're doing education programs for the midwives. We're doing different income generating programs with the midwives, with things they already do, but just creating new products and teaching them a little bit about how to run a business and ways to be more economically solvent, and supporting them, also on the legal side of things. Because there's a lot, midwifery is political at the end of the day. Because unfortunately, the systems in charge in the world right now do not want midwives to be attending births outside of the system. They want all the births institutionalized and all the midwives in the system, hopefully under their command. Which is not how traditionally midwives work. Midwives are autonomous, very powerful women, authority figures in their community, and they're the elders, the leaders in the community. They're the psychologists, they're the family therapists, they're the pediatricians, they're the doctors, physicians, they're so many things for the families. And this is something that's in this modern day changing very fast because the pressure from the governmental structures is so strong, with the health system, with the education system. And so as they are not interested in having midwives working independently, then it's the work of the midwives is something that's threatened. It's something that's being lost, and we're only really seeing the last bits of that precious divine work. And yeah, there's so much here, there the history comes in, the wars, the Spanish Inquisition and conquest, systematic destruction that the Mayan culture has been and is still going through as a culture, as a whole group, and they are targeted because what they hold is so powerful and it's not in the interest of those in power. And so anyway, the Mayan midwifery is a central part of Mayan cosmovision, of Mayan ancestral wisdom. Because they're the pillars that hold that wisdom, along with the Akik, along with the Mayan mayors and authorities, along with the not only the Mayan authorities, but also the way that they had set up their community life, in a sense, where everybody was protected and
Everything's,
included, and everything is connected with everything, and there's a divine balance in life. And this is what's it's breaking, it's now we're looking for that again, right? We're looking for that balance again now, and especially those of us in the Western world where it's been a few generations of living out of that connection. We really have to work a little bit to get to it. But it's there. It's there. But again, it's this mind piece of, trying to rationalize and understand everything. Whereas some things are just for the heart. This is a lot of what my teachers speak about, and some of my greatest teachers, Nana Rosalía, that I'm working with at the moment a lot, that's a midwife, and Akik, and her daughters are all midwives, Akiks, and authority figures in the community. And it's that we need to learn to think with our heart. And first we think with our heart, and then we feel with our heart, and then we bring it to the mind. And so this is something that we need to practice a lot when we, those who have grown up in the Western world.
Yeah, it is, you know, I love the way you started talking about, you know, about the structure, what structure, you know, the structures being created for us to disconnect us from the nature, disconnect from ourselves, so we can be controlled. And, you know, because this is the structure we came in this modern world. So obviously we don't know anything else. The heart knows, but we need to go through that remembrance process. So we've been put into those systems, you know, our parents, grandparents, our kids. And this is how in Mayan culture, everything is connected, you know, the leaders, the midwives, the family, because this is, nothing happens without something else, you know, everything is supporting each other. Each part has the responsibility to support and do the thing. I feel the way we live in modern world, we like, okay, it's work or business, so I have to do that. Then I have my family. Then I have maybe what I like, but probably no time for that because I need to work, because I need to have more money, you know, or I need to do, always to do more. But I feel in that, you know, material part, which is like, it's important, but everything is going that side. And then family, okay, family. So family, what is family? You cook and you provide. Basically, the family is that you provide. And I really understand you because I was a single mother as well. And my daughter, she's adult now, but still like a baby. Probably for all the mothers, it's all life. It's they still little babies, but I really was in the similar energy because I had to provide. I mean, now I look at it, it was my choice because I didn't know different. I didn't know that possibly I can find the community, so I can find the land, or I can find, I just didn't know anything like that. What I was taught that I have to bring, you know, food on the table, make sure she's going to school, make sure she is having everything. But the heart is kind of secondary place, isn't it? Of course, we intuitively as a mothers give love, and we look after our kids. About how we get into this like a tunnel of survival mode, and we of course abandon then ourselves, our hearts, because we think we just need to go to work and we need to do all the thing in order to survive. But then something happens in life, isn't it? Something happens when we actually start awakening and understanding that this is not enough. This is not the way we have to support our family. This is not the way we have to support the community. And I'm really grateful that this is happening in the world, that the younger generation, they understand that they have a choice now. They have a choice to, you know, take the path from the heart, explore all the different modalities, and connect to the nature more. Although it's still difficult, of course, but there is the option. There is more, I don't know, I feel like it's more freedom, but in a good and in a bad way, isn't it? It's always both sides. It's more freedom to choose the things what maybe might not support us in a way, but there is a freedom to choose the things what actually gonna bring us back to our heart. going to bring to that connection. And I also wanted to speak about, you know, Mayan tribes, Mayan women, especially you working with them and you living basically with them for a long time now. And you are so connected to this ancestral wisdom, what they carry in their DNA, and you tapping into it. So you have this beautiful, beautiful gift and opportunity to give it to future generations, to teach, you know, your students, to teach your kids. And, you know, when we remember that we are the ancestors for future generations, and we have the power. This is the power, but also responsibility, you know, to create that change in the world. And for you witnessing and even in those days, still noticing and seeing how the government, how all the politics, political things, they are trying to push the Mayan wisdom, push it kind of off, so we can still have the control, because I feel it's so powerful, and each of us can have it, can have the connection and the power through whatever, you know, ways we can access it. But because it's such a strong connection with the ancient lands, with the, all what we have gone through, this mystical, magical, and the most perfect Mayan cosmovision, which is written in the stars, and they knew and still some of them knows how to read it, how to read from the stars, how to live based on the stars and on the earth, of the how to be connected with the nature and connected with yourself, so you can flow with life, you know, with ease, with it's not like we stop doing things. We maybe start doing even more, but in a natural way, taking that responsibility. So, yeah, it's, I wanted also to speak about the beautiful ways how we can support that. And what is your thought? I know you're working on this beautiful, beautiful, a midwife project, and you're raising the funds and those opportunity to support all the amazing work and educational work you are doing. It was so beautiful for me to meet people who are involved into that project, and to feel, I always, for me, it's, you know, when we are in Western world, most of us are disconnected, and then I come to Guatemala and then connect with you and with the other Mayan, you know, people, and the joy of life, isn't it? The joy, the what they carry in their essence, then what you feel being surrounded them, it just, like you said, it's so simple in a way, but it's not, you know, because we need to cultivate and to create that ourselves. And all the courses, like you said, you was doing, all the directions you were taking, it's obviously led to this. But just to become midwife, it's not just, you know, to finish, I guess, the school. You need to do the work with yourself from all the different angles and aspects in your life. So you come into that strong power, and that's why people start coming to you. That's why, because you don't need to say, almost you don't need to say anything, because they can feel it. And it is really, really important. And I wanted you to share maybe like something from Mayan way of living. We're probably not going to go deep into cosmovision, but basic, what would be advice, you know, like if I would come to you on the first day, and as a woman, and especially we lose ourselves like many times during a lifetime, isn't it? What would be your advice? You know, what to do? Shall I go, I don't know, to the wilderness? Do I need to work on my womb? Do I need to reconnect with my ancestors? What do you think is really important for us as women? I really, because it's a such a midwifery is a part of, you know, everything, especially in the Mayan communities. But we here talking about women because you work with women, you know. It's mainly, of course, men sometimes, but it's men, they don't give birth, you know. This is the power what we have. So what would be your advice for the woman who possibly maybe I say lost yourself, but sometimes we don't know that we're losing that connection with ourselves. You know, we don't understand. Sometimes people think like, oh, this is, doesn't work in my life. It's just so many challenges or something is really doesn't serve me anymore. So how, what steps to take, where to go, what to do, how to find that connection, the soul, the power what each of us have inside us. What do you think?
Well, a few things that come to me. Well, first, on a personal note, just to finish with that, is that all of these, all the everything we do is part of that process that you said, you know, in somehow leading us to our purpose or to where and what we need to be doing. And we also, one of my great teachers, Tata Carlos, speaks about this and says that we come with three gifts. And this is our divine work. And so it's, for me, it's first I developed the healing, and then I developed the midwifery, and I still have to develop my third gift. And so we, this is, you know, this is how he sees it. And just on this note, all of this Mayan wisdom has been carried down orally, practically, in people's lives, in people's kitchens, in their homes, in the way that they survive, in the way they plant their corn. And what you were saying, you know, to speak with the stars, yes, this is what the ancestors used to do, the grandfathers and grandmothers, and not only with the stars, but with the clouds and the trees and the rocks and the stream and the animals. And they were in complete communion with all of life, not feeling like they're this separate thing watching everything happen, right? And then I want to share a little bit about kind of finding this purpose, which is what I think finding our purpose, which is what you're talking about, or finding our healing. It really depends on where in our process we're at with this kind of finding our soul purpose, right? Which is ultimately what we're talking about. We will heal in that process, right? It really depends where we're at. Some people might, because we get different experiences in our awakening. Sometimes it can come with something very physical, like an accident or an injury that leads us into this place of, well, ultimately it's encountering death, you know. It comes to this a lot of the time with these spiritual awakenings. It's like, well, am I here? Am I going to live this life? Or am I going to keep, you know, distracting myself and taking things and doing whatever to go by each day? Or am I going to be here and be empowered and make my choices and do what I need to do and what my heart desires and what I'm here to do, right? So, what I'm doing more and more, and I'm going to share a little bit more about this from the context of midwifery next because it's so fascinating. But what I'm recommending and doing with people is guiding them with the help of the achich, the nanas that I work with personally for my own journey, is to do the spiritual process of the ceremony with the fire, with the sacred fire. And when people are completely lost, I feel like this is the best, because it will take us directly to where we need to be. We consult the sacred fire, and through the messages that we receive with the fire, we understand exactly what the person needs. That's with a personal healing protocol, for example, like that person needs to do this and this and this ceremony in these places. Sometimes it's very specific, even with times and the offerings that need to be given. And then, what the person needs to do also with their body, if they need to take certain plants for a certain number of days and receive the massage sessions or receive the mezcal. Some things are more urgent in this spiritual process, and some things maybe we say, because this is all through a connection to our ancestors. That's ultimately how we get any further from our, like, just this, First, we connect to our body because that's where we're actually receiving the messages, and it's our vehicle. It's our vehicle in this life, in every sense, physically to walk on this earth, but also to feel and to think and to be, and so with our vehicle that we got in this life that is actually so incredibly capable, and magnificent, we've evolved into such. Just, I feel like, such precise, but also somewhat complicated beings, but we're capable of so much, And so, yeah, we get the direction through the sacred fire and through the ceremonies, and from there we continue. We go forward in this healing, process. And some people already have that. Some people have a very strong spiritual connection, but they're very disconnected from their body. And so we need to start connecting more physically with the body, Some people are very mental. And so it just really depends where everybody's at, in their process and how we work with each person. And then from just touching more on some context around everything we're saying of this, how we find our mission and how we find our healing and how we find this connection, and ultimately how we can be of service with our gifts to our community first, immediate, but then even global at this point today, nowadays, right? It's all pretty global at some point. The midwives, all the old grandmothers tell a beautiful, very beautiful story that to me is fascinating of how they start to work, because they start through a very intense process of initiation, usually through a lot of disease, because there's so much rejection because of all of that, what we were saying of the systems that have come to be in place, and the westernization of the Mayan culture, and the loss of their values, that there's a lot of resistance in accepting the divine work of midwifery. But midwives are born with that gift, and the midwife that attends the birth sees the signs. And the signs, we're all born with these signs of what it is we came to do in this world. It has to do with our nawal on the day that we're born, but there's other signs as well. For example, midwives are born in what is called a veil, and it's a protection that they're born with, and it's the amniotic sac. And it's a very small percentage of babies. In English, it's called on call, that are born on call. And it's with the membranes, the amniotic sac over their head. And the midwives call this a veil. This is a sign that if it's a girl, that they will be a midwife. If it's a boy, very likely they will be a naqih, or a bone healer. Yeah. Or a herbologist. And so this is just one of the signs. Sometimes the midwife will see it and protect that, and take that, the membranes, take the amniotic sac and protect it and dry it and keep it in a very special little box and put it in the altar or put it somewhere very special. And when that girl is about 13 and she's ready to receive her work, they will give her that, her veil, and she will keep it kind of as an amulet, as a power object in her altar. And it will help her to connect with her grandmothers so that they can guide her, because that's what our ancestors are here to do. They are the stars that you were saying. We speak to the stars. We're speaking to our grandmothers and grandfathers that have passed, because they are guiding us now. And so it's really only they that allow us to connect, that allow us to be here and actually in this world on so many levels, right? We're here thanks to them. You know, they're the ones that have walked their path, that have lived their lives, and that have given life to us. And then in that way, we will give life to our children, and they will give life to our grandchildren. And so this resistance to our gift in this specific case with the midwives, because it's comes with so much responsibility, which is linked to what you were saying. But ultimately, we all have that responsibility in this world, you know? And it's with this, like, what world are we leaving to our children? You know, it's this responsibility of knowing that our actions are going to affect our children, our grandchildren, and our great grandchildren for seven generations. Some indigenous people say, right? This resistance causes a lot of disease. It causes suffering, and until there is not a full acceptance of the gift, through a process of ceremony, usually it's four ceremonies, there will not be some form of balance found in the life. There will always be this turmoil spiritually, and can lead to physical. Many midwives tell the stories that they lose many children. There's big sacrifices that have to be done when there's not an acceptance of their divine gift of service. Sometimes it leads to death even. And the first thing is their physical health. And then also, for example, one of my teachers, well, you mentioned her, Nana Dominga, told me the story. At some point in her process, she had accepted her gift, but her husband told her she couldn't do that anymore. She just couldn't go out to work because she was leaving her family and her home to do that. And it was not okay. She had to stay home, take care of the home, the children, cook, and do what all the women need to do. And so she said, okay, fine, you know, because actually, unfortunately, all of the Westernization and Catholic religion has led to strong sexism in today's Mayan and Guatemalan culture. And so the women have to listen to what the husband says, and that's the last word. So she said, okay, you know, if you're saying I need to do that, that's what I will do. And he got terribly ill. He almost died. And in her dreams, she got the message by grandmothers that were coming to speak with her in the dreams, saying, "You see, your husband, he's going to die if you don't pick up your work now and start doing your work." And so he had to accept that that was her work, because he was going to die if he didn't accept and allow her to do her work. And this is something really big, actually a big theme in the midwives' lives, that the husbands, they're the only women that are allowed to do what they say, because they need to go out at whatever time of the day and night, whenever a baby's going to be born. You can't decide on that.
Yeah.
And so they have the authority to go out and walk in the street whenever they need to. And it's not the husband who decides. This is something very special of midwives. But they struggle a lot. And sometimes the men, of course, have a hard time accepting this. But a lot of times it's beautiful that you hear that, yes, the midwives' husbands are there supporting them. A lot of times they're alone. They're single women too, that, you know, that have to, because they don't have that understanding and that support from the family. And so in this process of becoming a midwife, this goes along with all of the healing work and the achkich work, which is the spiritual work. Yeah, there was about 17 spiritual and healing specialties in the Mayan medical system, of which today there's only about 4 or 5 that are mostly alive, but there's still more. For example, this is the achkich, the bone healers, the midwives, the herbalists. These are still strongly practiced in the communities. And of course, the farther away the community and the less in touch they are with Westernization, the more intact these traditions are. And so, and vice versa. And the more closer to cities, the more urbanized, the less this is actually gone in most cities, of course. And so I want to just share one thing about all of this, and it's the connection to the dreams, because that's the most fascinating piece for me in all of this. It's that the connection to the dreams is so powerful, and that's how our ancestors communicate with us. So the midwives start to dream, and they all share this story, whether they're here in the lake, whether they're Kakchikel, Kiche, even the Garifuna midwives, even the midwives in also, you know, southern Mexico, Belize, Honduras, and all the Mayan region up to the Yucatan, they share that they have these dreams. And since they're little girls, maybe 7, they start to dream with women, old women, they say. Sometimes it's a couple, sometimes it's 4 grandmothers and 4 grandfathers, sometimes it's 3 grandmothers. The numerology is very special too, and important. Well, it's, you know, part of Mayan mathematics, which was very profound, and I just don't even understand a tiny bit of all of that. But the numbers in which the elders are presented to them is very meaningful. And they come and tell them, "You have specific work to do. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to guide you." And they share that they start to tell them, "This is a pregnant woman. These are your patients. You're my daughter. I'm going to teach you." And they take their hands and show them how to feel a pregnant woman's belly, how to feel the baby's head, how to do even internal vaginal exams. All of this in their dreams. Or what plants, they show them, "This is the plant you need to give this person." So a lot of times, midwives and these healers, they're connected at levels we don't comprehend anymore. A lot of times when we go to them, they know they were waiting for us because they dreamed we were coming. When their patient is coming, they dream about the patient. When complications are coming, they dream about the complications, and they know they have this ability to connect and see, not all of them, but a lot of them, what is coming. And so in this way is how they learn. They don't go to school. They don't go to do any kind of training, or any, to get any kind of diploma anywhere.
The
And
paper.
then, yeah, no papers, no signatures to give them permission, because they are receiving the permission from God,
From God.
ultimately,
It's
from
so
like how.
powerful.
Yeah.
It's
And
so
so this is
powerful.
just so beautiful. And we need to hear these stories because we need to remember that there's another way to do things from what you were saying. What we've been taught is not the only way. And we need to open our mind because it's like in these little boxes, So we need to release our mind. And when we hear these things, it's like, wow, this is what has helped me to live here and realize that there's another way to live. There is another way to live, and it's possible. And it's actually thousands of people living in that way, the indigenous peoples that are still connected, that are still living in a sustainable way with Mother Earth, with the Father Sun, with the cosmos. It's thousands of them that still know how to live in communion, how to live in balance, how to support each other, how to live in brotherhood and sisterhood. They're not in this like, oh, you figure it out by yourself. You figure it out by yourself. I'm here in like my house, in my space, with my job, with my family, with my things.
My money.
No. Yeah. And they still live in that way. Like, no, we got each other, We're here for each other. We're in this together, and I think that's what we're looking for in the end, and that's why we're connecting to all of these ancestral medicines, nowadays, like the ayahuasca and the yoga and all of these ancestral traditions, because
Voice.
we're reconnecting with that way of living in communion and connection again with everything.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing this. I feel like your power is going to be spread so wide, and I think we living in modern world and thinking, okay, Mayan just lives, it's not that many of them, and we are different, we can't, tap into this. But actually we all have our own magic, we have our own power, and there are ways to remember it and to receive those messages through the dream. So, I know it's not like you can't say, oh, I live in the city, move out of the city, although it would be good, isn't it? But it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody, I see it, of course, as a choice, is a conscious choice that which might take some time, quite a longer period of time to reconnect with the nature, or to be able to live more within that sustainable way of living, to receive direct gifts from the land, to be able to watch the stars, not living in polluted city, light pollution, as you say, and you even can't see the stars. So what, how to speak? But then we have the dreams, we have this connection, and then there are all other actions, how to start unlocking those dreams, how to start connecting, how to start communicating to the cosmos, how to start deepening your relationship with yourself through this divine energy, what we receive, what we channel, as you said, what goes through us, comes through, and then we fully surrender, we just do the work, we just do fulfill that path we came here to walk. And as we say, oh, I need to find my path, I need to find this, everything you do, it's already you walking that path. It's just, stepping into your full fruition, like your Tata Constantino says, you have three gifts. You have, when you start learning, then you start embodying, and then you start, stepping into that, I guess, elderly part of the wisdom of that connection. I don't know, it's just so much. And every time I think like I ask something, we just could go deep, deep. And it's really an honor to have you here. And I really want to thank you for everything you do, the work you do, and agree to spread this message of Mayan wisdom, of your wisdom, to show the world that it's possible. You know, it is possible. You know, we need to find that faith in our hearts through the fire. Of course, we know that fire is the most powerful medicine, but you know, for some people, you know, first time go and speak to a fire, what? know, sounds a little bit, you know, woo-woo. But actually, even start looking at the candle at the beginning, it, because it's so powerful, you can't even escape anywhere. It's it's the messages, everything. So like you said, what you would advise, probably just sit by the fire, and this is you know, probably will be the biggest transformation, which open up. I see it as a gateway, you know, the gateway, what we start opening, and then we start learning, we start connecting, we start tapping into that divinity of the, you know, cosmic realms, and bridging that earth, and sharing it through us. So yes, I feel so grateful. I don't know what time is it now, but I wanted to speak about womb healing as well, but I guess we covered so much that we can feel that this is a big part of this unity, of this whatever you want to call healing path. I don't know, teachers, everything, you know. I feel like you said, the midwives, when they know, you know, that when little girls comes to the world, this is their responsibility. And it's when you start connecting more and more with Yona, while understanding, you know, those messages, those connections, it's just magical. It's actually the magic, what the minds can't really grasp a lot of the time. But also looking at Mayan cosmovision, I see it as a science. You know, it is a science. We just can tap into the magic and receive the magic through this deep science, this limitless book, you know. Then for me, then I look at the stars, and I speak to the stars, and then sometimes I feel like, how, you know, it's already written, you know, and each of us have this map inside us, which is came from up there. And we even can't, you know, for me, it's like, you know, it's fascinating, but also to witness and notice how every time you connect with the stars, you unlock something. And it's just like step by step, it's the stars are leading you to your truth, to your path, I guess, to your magic, to, you know, to start seeing that invisible side, you know, and stop expecting it just be, you know, physical, what eyes can see, because when we close our eyes, we, I guess, see much more, isn't it? So thank you so much. I'm gonna put everything in description, how people can connect with you, yeah, how they can find you on Instagram, how they can support the midwifery project, and spread this beautiful message. This podcast probably will come out at the beginning of October or at the end of September. I've been last 4 days in the portal, so today I'm landing and standing What is the date and what we're doing here? But I wanted to invite you to share. Maybe is there anything what you would like to invite people to find the connection with you, or maybe you have some offerings with your community or yourself, what you are planning to do in a close future, or what your intentions are, and how people actually can find you, because I have a lot of friends and students who can't wait for this episode to come out and find you in Guatemala.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, absolutely. We have a few offerings coming up actually. In October, I'm teaching my Mayan abdominal massage course. In November as well, and in December as well. So the next 3 months, I'm going to be offering the Mayan abdominal massage course. The best is just to get in touch with me, writing at mayamassageguatemala@gmail.com, for specifically for the course. We're also offering a retreat, well, two retreats, because the course in December is actually a retreat, so it's going to include food and lodging. And that's, well, what we couldn't talk about today, but all about womb healing. The Mayan abdominal massage course, right? And connecting to our core and healing our womb and kind of unlocking our creative life force energy and connecting to our power. Then the retreat in November is a new offering that we have from the Midwife Project, which is going to be really special. It's 4 days of specifically just working with midwives and rituals around pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. The rituals done during the pregnancy, during the birth, and with the placenta, and with the baby and the mother in postpartum, and the temazcal, the plants, the massage as well. So it will have a lot of the womb work in it, but really focused around the rituals and the birth care that the midwives do. And that's at the end of November. So yeah, we on our Instagram page, we have an Instagram page where we're sharing all of these offerings, the Midwife Project Guatemala. And then I have my personal too, but you can put all of that stuff in
Everything,
there. But these are the next three off like four offerings that we have. And then I'm going to continue offering courses next year. I'm putting up the dates now for 2024. We're also doing an amazing 6 month program of Mayan midwifery and professional midwifery. So this is a program that we've created for Indigenous midwives, but this year we're going to open it up to any woman who wants to join, because we have a lot of inquiries around Maya midwifery. So we decided to open it up, and in that way also help pay the scholarships for all the Mayan women that are doing the course. And so that's a huge thing that we're starting in January to June. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So tune in, go on our website, go on our Instagram pages and Facebook and all that, and there's we're sharing and posting about all of this stuff. And yeah, just
Beautiful.
a lot of gratitude in my heart for you, Vika, for your interest in
Thank you.
supporting, and also keeping alive all of this in this fast changing, modern world. And to all those also, who are interested in supporting and in just learning about this, thank you for your time and for your energy. And I look forward to continuing these conversations and all of it.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for your kind words. But the biggest thank you is for what you do and what you're creating and showing up. as the mother of three and doing all those amazing projects and growing through your own processes and juggling life in such a beautiful way. And today when we are connecting, I can see you shining so beautifully. So I'm happy for you. I can feel your Nawal and you really, really stepping into something bigger, which is beautiful always when the doors are open for us to expand and to receive, because one is not happening without the other. So thank you. Yes, I will put all the links. People will check out. They, of course, they can message, and I'm sure they will contact you. I'm planning hopefully to be in Guatemala January, February, or January, February, March. So I'm sure we will reconnect. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are, such a beautiful soul, and giving your precious time for people to hear and to connect with the energy from the lake, with your energy. And to, I feel like you're gonna light that fire in people's hearts to have, you know, this faith to find and ignite their own magic. I see it as a magic, because when we find that connection and allow ourselves to walk this path with no resistance, or whatever, even the resistance in the beginning, but transmuting that into the truth, into the peace, it's we start living life effortlessly, and we start allowing those energies to flow through us and just enjoy life, enjoy this physical life, what we have here, when we have, you know, we have the ability to experience the pain, to experience the joy, to experience the beautiful connections with other human beings, you know, with the animals, with the plants, with the, it's, we are so, so blessed to be on this planet, but we forget. We just like to abuse the earth, you know, what else you can give me? I'm just like, need more. We need less to be more. And then we will understand that, then everything will change. Thank you, sister.
Thank you for your words. And I love you. I hope you.
I love you.
You're
I
well over you. There. And exciting to know that you're going to be back here in these lands. And yeah, we'll have some more time to share. Beautiful.
For sure. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everybody who is tuned in on the podcast and listened, and everybody who's going to be watching me sitting in the stables and you shining your light from the lake on the YouTube channel.
Oh my gosh.
I love you, sister.
Love you.